to Healing for Your Heart. Healing for Your Heart is a daily radio program brought to you by Amelia Kenya. God wants to dwell with you, to love, to guide, to protect, and to provide for your daily needs. God's design is for you to enjoy His presence. Healing for Your Heart is possible today. Here is your author and speaker, Amelia Kenya.
Today, we would like to look at the needs of our times. And not only do we want to look at the needs of our times, but we want to understand the needs of our times. We shall begin our lesson today by reading two scriptures. The first one can be found in Isaiah chapter 61 verse 1, which can also be found exactly the same in Luke chapter 4 verse 18. And then we shall move on to read Psalm 107 verse 19 to 20. Let us look at Isaiah chapter 61 verse 1. The Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Those are the words of Jesus Christ, which actually define His mission for coming to walk amongst us as He lived on earth as He walked for the 33 and a half years. Then Psalm 107, verse 19 to 20. "Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." We are looking at understanding the need of our times. Today, we want to look at physical problems that have spiritual roots, which characterize the problem of our times. I would like to ask genuine and heart-searching, soul-searching questions. Why are so many people unhappy these days? Why do we find many people who are discontent in life? For what is man searching? And where are the answers? Or who has the answers to our problems today? What will it take to find answers to man's unhappiness? We can agree, and lots of researches are done out there which agree or which point to the fact that despite the constant pursuit for our happiness, many people still find themselves very unhappy. Life seems to lack meaning. Many people are going through life or going through the motions of life for the purpose of securing a good paycheck. They're trying to put decent food on their table. Many have a desire to have a good, meaningful life. But where is the problem? Why are so many people unhappy? There is a passage in Matthew chapter 17, from verse 14 to 21, where the Bible brings out disciples who are faced with a situation with which we can relate in our very present age. Let us look at that passage as we try to understand the needs of our times. Matthew chapter 17. We are going to read from verse 14 to 21. The Bible says, And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and so vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire, and oft into the water, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. So the disciples are faced with a situation. Jesus descends from the mountain together with Simon, Peter, John, and James. And this is where he had gone to be transfigured. This is on the Mount of Transfiguration. But at the foot of the mountain, there is a multitude. There are also other disciples waiting for him to come from that mount. So among the multitude that are waiting at the foot of the mountain is a man who has a special need. Christ comes down the mountain, and this man quickly goes to him. He kneels down and he says, Lord, have mercy on my son. Why? He is a lunatic. He is so vexed. Oftentimes he falls into the fire, and other times he actually falls into water. He goes on to say, I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. So evidently, this man had an obvious physical problem. The man's son, that is. When his father brought him to the 9 disciples who were waiting at the foot of the mountain, they did not have a solution for the man who was vexed. You know, Christ listened to this man as he narrated the story, the sad story of his son. And instead of replying to the man's request immediately, he actually directed his reply to the crowd and to the disciples. This is what he said. O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? After that, Christ called for this boy. Look at what he did. The Bible records very clearly, he rebuked the devil, and the devil departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then thereafter, the disciples approached Jesus on their own and expressed the state of their hearts. They asked him, why could we not cast him out? You know, it's very interesting. Look at the answer that Christ gave. According to the passage that we read, Christ answered and told him, it was because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. You know, Abraham Lincoln, way back in 1863, had something to say that relates very closely to this passage, and something that we can really glean from even in our society today. He said, I invite the people to invoke the influence of his spirit, that is referring to God, to guide the counsels of the government with wisdom, adequate to so great a national emergency, and to visit with tender care and consolation through the length and the breadth of our land all those who, through the vicissitudes of marches, voyages, battles, and sieges, have been brought to suffer in mind, body, or estate, and finally, to lead the whole nation through the paths of repentance and submission to the divine. This will bring back to the perfect enjoyment of union and internal peace. A president was recognizing that there are situations that can affect the mind, that can affect the body, that can affect the entire estate of a man. There are three major things I would like us to notice in the passage that we have read as we try to understand the need of our time. Number one, I would like us to notice the desperation of the father. The boy's father went to the disciples with hopes that he was going to get help, but he failed. And that is why he decided to seek Jesus. He waited very patiently for the Savior. That is because his need was very, very paramount. That was his main focus. So even as the crowd waited, as the crowd was approaching and really thronging Christ, he decided, I'm not going to stop at what the crowd is doing. Instead, I'm going to go direct to Christ. I am going to press on. I'm going to kneel at his feet and I'm going to present my request. And that is exactly what he said. And that is exactly what he did. Today, many people, just like Abraham Lincoln, our president, mentioned in 1863, many people today can identify with the plight of this boy's father in our world. Christians and even non-Christians alike are acquainted with difficult times. How many people today can say, I need help. My child is a lunatic. My child is mentally ill. My child is so vexed with the devil, just like that boy was. How many can say, oftentimes, my child behaves in ways that are contrary to society. He behaves in ways that are contrary to the teachings of our own family. How many can say the enemy has netted my child with addictions, with perversions? He is cold. He is very cold-hearted too. He is indifferent. And oftentimes, he engages in nerve-wracking behavior. His activities are heartbreaking. But even more sad, how many can say, I took him to your disciples. I took him to your followers, and they could not help him. How many can point a finger in desperation and say, I took him to your house, but they could not help him either? You know, when you are in desperate need of help, there is nothing else that is going to matter in your life. That is because your problem stands right there before you. It consumes you. It occupies your day. In fact, it brings everything else to a standstill. When you are faced with a life-threatening situation, life-changing situation, the crowds are not going to stop you from getting help. You will converse land, you're going to converse sea until you find help. That is the desperate need of the father. That is why he had to wait until he presented his request to Christ. But number two, I want you to notice the physical manifestation which had a spiritual cause. The physical manifestation which had a spiritual cause. The boy, as seen from the very, very way the Lord Jesus dealt with him, had a spiritual malady, but it was manifested in a physical problem. Number one, the boy was a lunatic, meaning the boy had a mental problem. He was very unpredictable in his own behaviors, in his own actions. Sometimes you can say the actions were foolish. The actions were thoughtless and many times even destructive. You know, a lunatic is equated to somebody who is reckless, somebody who is wild, somebody who is even a psychopath. But number two, the Bible records that the boy was vexed, meaning he was under the influence and the control of forces that were outside of himself. This boy was tormented. This boy was plagued. He was harassed. He was afflicted to the extent that very little provocation was needed to irritate him, to trigger his angry behavior, and to trigger the actions. And number three, whatever was at the root of the boy's problem caused him to engage in acts that were not normal. Let me repeat that again. Whatever was at the root of the boy's problem caused him to engage in acts that were not normal. Look at what happened. The Bible records, the boy often fell in fire and water. In fact, some Bible commentaries and Bible scholars indicate that this boy had manifestations of epilepsy as evidenced in the words, wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, he foameth, he gnasheth his teeth, and he pineth away. Those words are recorded in the book of Mark, chapter 9 and verse 18. So we pause as we look to find and to understand the needs of our times. We pause to ask, do we still have physical problems in our society today stemming from spiritual causes? If such problems were very evident and very present in Jesus' era, should we be surprised to find them rampant in modern day societies or in our generation? You know, the devil has neither changed his purpose nor tricks. In fact, every Christian still has to be vigilant. Every Christian has to be sober. Why? Because the Bible is right in warning us in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. Satan is alive. He still walks around as a roaring lion seeking anybody he can devour. His purpose in your life is to devour. It is to kill. It is to steal. It is to destroy. Just as Christ also warned in the book of John chapter 10 verse 10. His purpose in your life will also stand very strong until he is cast finally into the lake of fire. That is the only time the devil will be totally defeated. We have lunatics today. Satan still inflicts people today. Satan targets the mind. In fact, the devil has very special interest in young people. He looks for energetic, very brilliant, and very vibrant minds. He is going to do everything in his power to attack. He will do everything in his power to enslave. He will do everything in his power to torment and control your mind. You are going to find that most abnormal and uncontrollable behaviors usually have a spiritual cause. And you cannot treat spiritual causes using a physical solution. Spiritual problems must be treated with spiritual solutions, despite how they camouflage and come around. Number three, we were looking at three things we need to notice. Notice the disappointment of the Savior. Christ was very disappointed at the inability of his disciples to offer help to a desperate man and his son. Look at what he wondered in Matthew chapter 17, verse 17, as we read it. He said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you?" You know, you ask yourself, why was Christ disappointed? What was his expectation? Clearly, from this passage, it implies that the disciples had been with Christ long enough to accomplish that kind of a task. They had been with Christ, they had sat under his teachings, they had observed, in fact, they had witnessed God at work. They had seen the power of God working, and Christ expected them to do better. When you look back in the book of Matthew chapter 10, you're going to find that Christ had every reason to be disappointed. Why? If you look at verse 1 and verse 8 of that same book, Matthew chapter 10, Christ had called the disciples unto himself, 12 of them. In this particular passage, he had given them power against every unclean spirit. He had given them power to cast them out. He gave power to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. Not only were they supposed to preach, but they were to go lay their hands on the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Christ had told them, "I have freely given this to you. I also want you to freely give it." That is why we read right from Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, when we began. Christ came saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." You know, Christ was disappointed because at one time, in fact, the disciples had taken Christ at his word. They had moved in the power that God had given them, and they had successfully accomplished the very tasks that God had called them to. On one occasion, if you look at Luke chapter 10, verse 17, 70 of the disciples had returned again to Christ with a lot of joy. They had told him, "Even the devils were subject to us through your name." In fact, on that day, the Bible also records that Christ rejoiced with them, and he confirmed that he had witnessed Satan falling from heaven like lightning. You see, there was success for his servants in ministry. They had actually been able to subdue the oppressive schemes of the enemy. They operated above those oppressive patterns of the enemy. And what was the result? The people were delivered. The people were healed. The people had joy. The people were able to move in life victoriously, successfully again. But what had happened? They had moved in the power of Christ. They had moved under the influence of the Spirit of God. They had restored soundness of mind, soundness of, you know, of intellectual thinking back to those whose minds had been plagued by the enemy. But what exactly had happened? Christ had every reason to wonder, how did they fall from such a pinnacle of service to that powerless state whereby they could stand so helplessly before a big crowd and before a man and his own young son, helpless. How could they be so powerless when the world was watching and desiring that they get help? And how can we relate to this in our own world today? Are you finding yourself harassed by the enemy? Are you finding yourself very ineffective in the service of God? Have you lost your power? Have you lost your zeal? Have you lost your influence amongst those God has given you to minister? God wants us to get back to Him. God has healing in His hands for us. God wants to restore us in this power. When we get close to Him, when He brings His presence round about us again, when He hovers around us and His presence covers us like that cloud that covered the children of Israel, and it hovers and entangles round and hems us round about like that pillar of fire that surrounded His children in the wilderness, then and only then do we come back to the full power and to the full operation in God's service. And that is when His children round about us, His people who are living amongst us, will experience victory. They will experience the deliverance. They will experience the power of the gospel, because Christ will live in their midst to heal their brokenheartedness. He will bring deliverance. He will set the captives free. He will cause those who have been spiritually blind to have their sight again. And those who are bruised will be bandaged up, or they will be healed again. These are the needs of our times.
Thank you for tuning into Healing for Your Heart. You can contact Amelia Kenya through her website, ameliakenya.com. That's AmiliaKenya.com. There, you will also find spiritual resources through her following books: Prayer and Spiritual Warfare, Spiritual Victory for the 21st Century, Back to God for Healing, The Power of a Woman, and God's Presence, The Missing Something.